CliffCentral.com.
Make you so good. You're pretty in a close, but me loving your nose. Yeah, baby, you know, take your nothing for move me. You're bad like action movie. If you beat rough tonight, not smoothly.
All right, it's Drake with Controller featuring Popcorn. Duncan says, please tell Justice he's a legend. I love the way he explains things. And then Carl saying the opposite. The quality of Flax's comments is binary. One day he's really, really good. One day he's shit. Today he's shit. So there we go, Flax. Some feedback from Carl. Cindy says, you, me, or the guy next door, if we apply for any job and there isn't even a sniff of an allegation against us, we simply won't get the job. This is just crazy. And Brian says, gee, all those top cops are all ex-apartheid background cops. I don't know what that means, Brian. Maybe you must just explain it to me a little bit. And then Roman was saying he hates Drake. He says Drake is pure AIDS, overrated, beardy, and nasty.
Wow.
Okay.
Overrated and beardy.
Oh, have you played it already?
that was it now.
Oh, okay.
Mini Dlamini is here. She was just doing stomach crunches on the ball outside. We've sure. got those exercise balls. Like she needs it.
No time to waste. So you've got to maximize
Absolutely.
Every second in your day.
Definitely. But right now it is time for us to check in on the news. Let's get to Mabale Moloi. Here are the latest headlines with Mavs. Are you ready? Mumps, what we got?
All right, so earlier we were talking about Bernie Sanders, right?
Yes.
Now, you tell me if Tony Ehrenreich is kind of singing that socialist tune that Bernie Sanders goes on about every now and again.
All right.
Tony Ehrenreich is COSATU's Western Cape secretary, and he is also ANC leader in the city of Cape Town, and he is challenging DA counterparts to match him in giving away half of their income. This is what he said. He said, I spend 50% of my income on social projects. I know that Patricia DeLille and Helen Ziller both get huge allowances in addition to their multi-million rand salaries. And he is challenging them to declare their income and expenditure and possibly also donate some of their money.
Huh.
Now, this is not the first time that Ehrenreich has made this pledge. He did this in January last year and said he was renewing it because he says, and I quote, I cannot in good faith take a second salary while so many of our people are not given jobs. He is paid 24,000 rand by COSATU and then he is paid 26,000 rand by the city of Cape Town. He says the huge differences in income and resulting inequality between different sectors of our society are responsible for the breakdown in the social fabric of our society.
Where?
So here's a question here. Is this just another PR opportunity or is there merit to what he is saying?
Of course there is, but we know he's a cynical politician. And Ehrenreich is in trouble in the Western Cape because he hasn't delivered the ANC the votes that he promised them. And they're going to fire him. So he's doing whatever it takes to hold on to any kind of credibility and to get a job. He actually isn't saying, oh, I've got a second salary, I must give this to the poor. What he's really saying is, I'm going to show you how I would if you vote for me, but you're probably not going to vote for me, in which case I'm not going to do anything.
So have we gotten to the stage in this country where it doesn't matter what a politician, any politician says, we put up this mental block against what they're saying because we've often said that our politicians are way too overpaid. He is basically saying the same thing, but now we have a problem with him saying it simply because he's a politician.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, then we're screwed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what we want.
There are probably there are three people who I will take seriously on this issue.
Okay.
Three politicians I'll listen to. Julius Malema, Buyiseni Ntlozi, and Solim Simanga of the DA. So two EFFs and one DA. Those are the only people I'll take seriously. And Soli because he's running for mayor of Tshwane. And we had him in here. You remember?
Yeah, he was great.
We met him and spoke to him.
He was so cool.
I believe him.
He
seems like a believable guy.
He was the one who said that politicians should have performance reviewers.
Right.
And if they sucked at their job in the previous year, they should be fired and replaced.
Right. That's why I like him.
Okay. But now, do you think that we should know how much politicians are earning? as Tony Ehrenreich says.
Definitely. Okay. And we should cut all of that in half. Every politician's salary should be cut in half right now. It shouldn't be a big ticket item. This is why we get shit people going for those positions. It should be really, really low salaries.
Yeah, we need to emphasize the servant part of public servant.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough of that is made.
Right. All right, enough of that, though. It's never going to happen, but we can talk about it like it might. Makes us feel better.
Okay, well, let me give you the very little information that is currently available about this Egypt Air flight that has just disappeared from the radar.
Mm-hmm.
It was heading from Paris to Cairo. It disappeared from the radar with 69 people on board, according to the airline. That's 59 passengers and 10 crew members. The plane was flying at 37,000 feet when it disappeared shortly after entering Egyptian airspace. And the airline says that they will provide information as it comes in. But I mean, you know, you raised a very good question this morning. How is it that you can you have applications that allow you to find your phone when you've misplaced it, or, you know, you can track your laptop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't tell when a plane disappears from radar. Just what? Disappears into thin air?
Listen, I lose my phone and I can find my phone. I just press a button on my laptop and it says find my phone. And, like, the fucking thing's down the street. I know where it is.
But another thing, it crashed into the Med, apparently, right? Now, I just saw a tweet now, maritime activity right now in the Mediterranean. In the Mediterranean, it's not like the Atlantic. This isn't like that Malaysian airline thing.
There's a boat around every corner.
There's lots of boats there. People are either looking for asylum, they're going to different countries, they're transporting things. There are so many different boats for so many different reasons in the Mediterranean. Someone must have heard something,
yeah,
seen something.
This is very suspicious. Very suspicious. I don't like the fact that we lose planes.
Nobody likes that because at some point you have to get on a plane, right?
Uh-huh.
And you want to be assured that uh-huh, you know, very little can go wrong.
That's right.
We know that a lot can, but you know, you just want to be comforted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So earlier this week, Sinead O'Connor made the news because she went missing.
What a lunatic this woman is.
No.
Gareth, no, she, this
no
is clear.
It sounds like
this
she suffers.
This woman's a lunatic.
No, man.
She's a lunatic.
It sounds
come
like
on,
she's suffering from some kind of mental disorder.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, it sounds like it. She, what, a year ago? Well,
that's what I'm saying. She's a lunatic.
We don't call them lunatics.
We call her a lunatic. This is Sinead O'Connor. First of all, she was the one who had a fight with the Pope a long time ago. Then she had a fight with Prince when he gave her his song, Nothing Compares to You. That made her famous.
Mm.
Then she went off and she started mouthing off about other pop stars and what a disgrace they are. And she talked about how everybody in music these days is a loser except her. And then she disappears. She just went away. She's like this plane from Cairo. She goes away. Nobody knows where she is. Her own family are like, Oh, no, she's missing.
Okay. Well, Sinead O'Connor is now suing her family.
Oh, boy.
Because obviously you didn't think that it could get worse, right?
They don't care.
Oh, man.
They're probably served with these documents, and they're like, eh.
Like, oh, no, her again. Really?
You did not think it could get more bizarre than what it did on Sunday when she went for a bike ride. She was gone the whole day, and then she was found in a dodgy hotel somewhere. Well, now she is suing her family. The 49-year-old Irish singer, who was reported missing on Monday after failing to return from a bike ride, has blamed her ex-partner, John Reynolds, and their son, Jake, for her disappearance.
Oh, boy.
She's a mother of four, by the way. This I didn't know. And she has taken to social media to threaten her relatives. In a Facebook page presented as an open letter to John, the ex-husband, or rather ex-partner,
mm-hmm,
as well as her son, she had this to say: none of you will ever see me again because of what you have done. If I manage not to kill myself, you'll be paying the medical costs which have been and will continue to be involved with that, since you were and remain the chief coordinator of my total psychological and emotional destruction. And I will still never return to you or any of my four children because of you. This is now talking to the ex-partner. So effing live with that. Explain to Shane, the children.
You're telling me this woman is sane?
Explain to Shane and Yeshua why Mom vanished.
Yeah.
You unchristian, ungrateful, lying criminal. Listen, man, obviously she's going through some kind of mental breakdown.
She's melting down. This is
What?
This is Sinead O'Connor.
Did she ever have a history of drug abuse or alcohol abuse?
Well, she was a pop star, so she had a bit of sniff here and there, no doubt.
Did she suffer from depression her entire career?
Yeah. She shaved her head a few times, didn't she?
I thought that was just, that was just part of her look, her brand.
Listen, she once used to be a very attractive woman. She used to be a great pop singer. People liked her. She was very, very good once. And this was her most famous hit, which is written by Prince. So maybe she's also just dealing with the fact that the guy who wrote the biggest song she ever sang is gone. And he can't write her any more songs. So there's no more success on the horizon for her. Remember this? Just so that people like Flax who don't know her can hear what she sounded like when she was at her best. Everybody.
I go out every night and sleep all day.
Well, there's the problem right there. She goes out every night and sleeps all day. And now, a couple of years later, she's a bedraggled old lunatic who goes missing for days and hates her whole family. What a nutcase, right?
She should rather be doing, squeezing in stomach crunches like Minnie Lamini does instead of sleeping the whole day. You know, you've got to be productive with your time.
Exactly. And look, Minnie doesn't stop for a minute.
Okay, so listen, yesterday we were talking about TV shows, right?
Yeah.
Now, new TV series and all that stuff, we're addicted.
Right.
We started out with vampires. I think we are currently nearing the end of the zombie era because, these things come in waves and stages and they trend and they're big and then they get replaced by something new.
Here's the big question. What's next? If we've gone through vampires and zombies, I don't think werewolves are really big enough to stand on their own two feet.
I know. Millennials.
Screw you. Screw you, says Flax. What do you think the next big... Pashita, what do you think the next big thing is? If it's not zombies and vampires, what are we going to be frightened by next?
Well, okay, if it's not zombies, I feel like we're going to be frightened of being done with aliens. I really don't know anymore. I think maybe
aliens.
Possession.
Aliens,
possession.
Yeah. Aliens are kind of old. You remember X-Files?
Yeah, that's true. They've been around for ages.
Aliens kind of started the whole thing off, actually, maybe.
Maybe possession. Demon possession.
Yes.
Maybe that's the next one.
Someone possessing you.
We need to introduce Hollywood to the Tokolosh.
There we go.
Yeah, you
that's
see.
That's the way to go.
We've got a.
They don't have any idea about the Tokolosh.
No, they could run with it and do amazing things with it.
Or just white businessmen. I think that's the next scary thing. I mean, that frightens the bejesus out of me after watching The Big Short. And that would be the scariest thing.
Okay.
Just whites in suits and briefcases.
You're silly. Well.
What is it?
This year's Cannes Film Festival has noticed that there has been a particular attention paid to one specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cannibalism.
Oh, really? That's the next thing?
That's where we're going next, people. Once we're done with the zombies, we're going into cannibalism because there were up to 6 films that were screened at the festival over the last week or so that all feature cannibalism as the main theme.
Yeah, the awkward thing is 3 of those movies were actually about sustainability and food.
There's even animated films about cannibalism. DreamWorks previewed one of their movies. It's called The Trolls. You know, the cute little trolls with the spiky hair?
Yes.
They found a way to work the theme of cannibalism into an animated movie as well. Jeez. So just watch the space. In about 6 months or so, all the TV series that you'll be watching will suddenly be focusing on cannibalism as zombies work their way out.
So now it's cannibals. This is not good.
This is what we want as humans. We want the strange and the weird and the bizarre things.
I'd be freaked out by all this stuff, I'm telling you.
Exactly.
All right. It could be politicians, just generally. That's what Boy says on Twitter this morning. He says it's definitely going to be politicians. The next big wave of a bunch of people who suck the blood out of society.
They should do like a WrestleMania special edition where they just put in politicians in the ring like Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders and just let them beat each other up.
You know what the funny thing is? I think if you put Bernie and Trump into the ring, I think Bernie might win.
I am a much better wrestler than you. I will prove that I can wrestle you to the ground, you big bully.
Well, come on. How does he sound again? Trump?
I'm rich. I'm very rich.
I'm rich. Bernie, you're never going to win. You haven't got a chance. You're a loser, Bernie.
Thank you, Mobs. You put me back on track. I think Bernie would beat Trump. Bernie's like a down and dirty fighter. Trump's this spoiled little rich kid with small hands who's grown up with everything, who has never had to deal with real problems in his life. The scariest thing, he actually said this the other day, one of the scariest moments of his life was when that dude at a rally pulled his pant leg. Do you remember? Everyone freaked the hell out. Stupid dummy.
Don't you think Trump would be more of a playing dirty kind of guy? So he would probably stab Bernie in the back as opposed to, you know, facing him head on.
I don't think he's like that. I actually think he's honest. I just think he's stupid. Cindy says, Sinead O'Connor definitely suffers from a mental issue. It's quite commonly known in Ireland. I'm not sure exactly which one, but she's on edge for sure. And then Gerrit says, yes, because Donald will have to use baby-sized gloves if he boxes.
Right.
So Bernie could just actually stand a chance of winning there. All right, what else is in the news?
There is a woman in the United Arab Emirates who has been sentenced to a fine as well as deportation. The big crime that she committed, Gareth, was that she violated her husband's privacy by checking his cell phone to see if he was being unfaithful. She was convicted for accessing his phone without permission when she suspected that he was having an affair with another woman.
Yeah.
It's been reported that her husband filed a complaint against her in court, and the court ruled in his favor, citing laws on cybercriminality. The woman gained access to her husband's mobile phone and transferred photos to her phone via WhatsApp.
Huh.
Later, she accused him of having an affair with another woman for her sins. She is fined with a $40,000 bill and possible deportation.
Well, let's look at this. This is good news for people who believe in privacy. If someone goes through your phone, it doesn't matter if they cheated on you. Put your own bullshit aside for a second. You are not allowed to go through someone's phone, forward yourself pictures from their phone, and then cause trouble for them. Right, Mubs? That's the lesson. You'll be fined.
I don't think it matters. These days, people hack into each other's phones, and they do that easily from a laptop. Like, they don't even need to pick up your phone physically and go through it these days. They just...
Okay. But if you break into someone's phone, you will end up bearing the brunt of the law. Right? People cheating and carrying on. Look, that's always going to happen. But if you are going through someone's phone without them knowing about it, you're in trouble. Let that be a warning to everybody. Okay? Right. Good. Moving on.
To dildos, why don't we?
Sure.
These days, it's not only your phone that's described as smart. Your strap-on dildo can be too.
Who was it? Janet Jackson bought that gold-plated one the other day?
No, that was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, God, Gwyneth Paltrow. She needs it. She's got no personality. That gold dildo is the most exciting thing about Gwyneth Paltrow since the 90s.
Okay.
So what happens with these dildos? Tell me.
Okay, well, this year, being termed the year of sex tech, did you know that? 2016 is the year of sex tech. And now even the busy executive can charge her vibrator via Wi-Fi.
Yes. Nice.
The latest tech bestseller at The Bedroom. The Bedroom are an upmarket adult entertainment store. They've got branches in Umhlanga, in KwaZulu-Natal, in Parkhurst, Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
So the latest best tech seller is called WeVibe 4 Plus.
Umhlanga and Parkhurst like masturbation hotspots or something?
They are indeed.
Well, I don't know, Ben. I don't know how these locations were picked and why there isn't a bedroom in Cape Town. That's also a very curious question. So the little gadget.
Hotbeds of masturbation. That's very funny. Huh? Yeah. I kind of like that.
The little gadget, which can be controlled from your app,
uh-huh.
caters for both genders.
Uh-huh.
And it can please both halves of a couple simultaneously.
Ooh.
If they are on separate continents.
Don't worry about me, Mubs. You carry on.
Okay. The Wii Vibe 4 Plus is not cheap, though. I mean, it retails at around 3,400 rand. Why are vibrators so expensive?
Well, yeah, these are.
No, but these are fancy ones. You get the, you've seen these really expensive toys that you get, these things.
Yes, they're all expensive. Oh. Why is the question?
Well,
that gold plated one, yeah, Gwyneth. That one is retailing at like, I don't know, like $15,500 or something.
Yes,
stupid.
But you deserve, if you're a woman and you're not getting satisfaction from your man, you deserve one of these things. You should be able to have 5 of them in the cupboard. You should open it up and it's like a weapons arsenal and you can go to town. Today I feel like that big purple one. Tomorrow I'm going to feel like that little buzzing, fancy, stimulating...
We Vibe 4 Plus.
That's the one.
Yes.
Right.
You think that she's opening the door to her panic room, but it's actually her underground...
Sex closet.
Sex lair.
Come with me. Come fast. Yeah. Oh. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh,
I don't understand why men are threatened by it, because there's some men who are very threatened by sex toys. You know that.
Well, they feel they're going to be made redundant.
Yeah, well, they are. I've got bad news for you guys. You're already redundant.
They
even with the Bugatti of sex toys, yeah, there's still a place for guys doing the right things.
If they know, but if they don't know, you're redundant. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be so threatened by it. I mean, they always say, yeah, but nothing ever feels as good as the real thing. Well, it's about a different sensation, and different is good, because why must you just enjoy one thing for the rest of your life? I mean, it's really no different to you masturbating every day.
Exactly, right. And it's really unsexy for women to come across as like a whiny little bitch going, oh, I'm going to marry redundant. Chicks don't want to hear that.
All right, so because 2016 is the year of sex tech, there is an explosion of all sorts of devices that are basically being enhanced by technology. Other tech toys available online are the Ambrosia, an orgasmatronic strap-on.
Wow.
Then you've got the Crescendo.
I love these names. They're so dramatic.
Whoever comes up with these names has a lot of fun doing so.
Yeah.
The Crescendo is a silicon vibrator manipulated by a smartphone.
Uh-huh.
And then the latest sex toy to hit the market is the Hum. It uses motion and pressure sensors to learn what the user likes and functions accordingly.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So it's like a vibrator that basically thinks for you. Nice. Reads you, knows what you like.
Hmm. Very good.
Very good indeed.
All right. I you know what? Everybody should have various selections of these things. I reckon people would be a lot happier if they had more orgasms in their day and less fights. Then they'd be less frustrated on Twitter. People are so mean on Twitter because they're not getting any. I believe that. Yes, Flex.
I saw the other day that a shirt came out with a fake prosthetic hand on the shirt so that the man can put one hand in his pants and it still looks like he's got both hands out and he can masturbate.
Oh, that's clever. It's also sick and creepy, but
that's
clever.
Weird.
Now, where would he wear this shirt?
Dinner parties.
Oh, no.
Maybe at work.
Oh, no. Shocking.
I think it was actually called Pocket Wank or something, shirt.
Oh, no. Do you know people who would buy this?
Yeah,
no.
Peter Griffin from Family Guy. That sounds like it's a sketch out of that. So, Gareth, when you're in America, I have a gift request, please.
All right, what do you want?
A set of Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
Remember, we played it a few times on the show.
Got a new one?
Well, now there's like extension packs and a whole bunch of other new stuff. But one of the things that's creating the news right now is there is a Donald Trump bug out bag Cards Against Humanity product.
Oh, wow.
Everything's sold out, though. But they might have new ones coming out. So essentially, in this pack, you get it's $25 pre-packed duffel bag, contains things to hand-picked items to survive the Donald apocalypse when you get selected. So it's got food rations, a radio, a gas mask, an application to become a permanent resident of Mexico. But then there's also card extensions. So you know those cards work. Basically, it's called a card game for really horrible people.
Yeah.
So one of the cards is Donald Trump's first act of president was to outlaw, and then you've got to then supply something for that.
Mexicans.
So that's how funny this. So if you ever are in America, because I think you can order it online here, but it's not very reliable. But this Cards Against Humanity is just so funny. Okay. If you haven't played it, you got to play it.
Are they actually calling it a Donald Apocalypse, or is that your genius?
It's the Donald Trump Bug Out Bag. That's what it's officially called.
Yes, Flex. Go on.
Can we please say a little prayer for Joe Jackson? He's not doing too great.
Oh,
he's in hospital.
No.
He went in for a procedural checkup, and he was feeling weak, and next minute he got a high fever, and they admitted him. He's been in there for a couple days now.
Oh, Joseph Jackson, the father of Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think a prayer, maybe God can help.
He's on the line. Do you want to talk to him?
Sure.
This is probably the first time.
Hey,
what's happening?
Hi, Joe.
I'm feeling fine. Don't believe none of this bullshit reporting.
Oh, but Joe, remember you did suffer that heart attack.
I didn't have no heart attack.
No, Joe, you were in Brazil.
I'm fine, bitch. What you talking about?
Joe, you were in Brazil and you were hanging out with...
Well, who raised you?
You were hanging out
who
with...
Who raised you?
You were hanging out with women a quarter of your age and you suffered a
if
heart attack.
If you was my daughter, I would have you out in the yard moving bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. Now, do I sound like a sick man to you?
Well, not at this very moment, Joe, but...
Oh, you need a beat down like I used to give Michael.
Joe, we were actually trying to be nice to you by saying that, you know, we should say a prayer for you, Joe.
Oh, that's kind.
Well, I mean, that's what we were trying...
Oh, what a sweetheart you is.
I mean, are you okay, though?
I'm fine, baby.
Oh, no.
How young is you?
No, Joe.
Tell the truth to Uncle Joe.
No.
What you wearing,
No.
Oh, yeah, come on.
No.
Gentlemen, I think you wearing lingerie.
You are giving me Bill Cosby vibes, Joe. I cannot do this.
Oh, don't bring up Cosby. He's a good friend of mine, Cosby. Don't be mean about no Bill Cosby. What's up with you doing that? You have to bring him in. Are you one of those feminists?
Yes, I am, Joe.
What's wrong with what Bill did?
Oh.
Say it in one sentence. What's wrong with what Bill did? He's my friend. I stand up for my friends. I got honor. Not like you. You're just offering yourself to me on the phone.
I did no such thing.
Yes, you did.
Joe, when...
You even said you're wearing lingerie.
Joe, when was the last time you woke up...
Walk around behaving like a hoe.
We don't have to... We really can't do this anymore, Joe. I'm sorry. We've got to go. We actually just wanted to check in on you.
But I'm feeling sick. Don't leave me now. I got nobody. Catherine left me. Half my kids are dead.
No, not half.
Well, Michael counted for more than the others.
Well, you know that some of your son's children...
Michael's the only one who brought money home.
Yeah, he did, though. He did, Joe.
You telling me I need Tito fucking Marlin? Jermaine, that motherfucker.
Yeah, but
hang on, my phone's broken. That lazy piece of shit, Jermaine. He does nothing but lie around and look greasy on album covers.
But
I hate that man.
No, but Joe.
He ain't my kid. Catherine must have cheated with some kind of reptile.
No, Joe, because Marlon's kids apparently have a reality TV show now. He's putting his kids to work
that's
the same
some
way
successful
that you
show. Yeah, it's really working. I hear everybody watching that show. Everybody coming to the hospital now saying to me, ooh, we're watching that show. They ain't watching that show. That show's bullshit. So are those kids. All they do is take some of Michael's money that rightfully belongs to me. I made Michael, goddammit!
Joe, how's Blu-ray Records doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked about Blu-ray Records. Blu-ray Records doing fine. And we will be releasing some more of Michael's... leftovers, but we's putting them together into nice songs. You know, there's still a lot of money in that estate that I need to extract the value from. We're gonna sell off. I got some shoes to sell.
Oh.
I got one of his TVs with the thumbprint of Michael Jackson on it.
Okay.
I got a scarf that he vomited into once. If you want that, that's for $3,000.
That'll do well on eBay.
I got a couple of single gloves, because you only used to wear the one.
Well,
every time.
Yeah.
So we got all the other ones on the right-hand side that he didn't wear, but they still good.
Okay.
And let me think. I got a giraffe. And from his zoo. He had a zoo at Neverland Ranch.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the monkey was more his thing, right?
Well, that chimpanzee's been sold to some old lady. It ripped her face off.
Oh.
Not a very safe animal to keep around.
No, not really.
No. But I was saying, Blu-ray Records...
Because I'm glad you brought that up. That's my business. That's where you can buy all the old Michael Jackson things now. We remastered it in UHD, that Ultra HD. You can see Michael shopping for underpants. You can see him and the children when he hangs the child over the balcony. You can see Michael when he is dressing up for his concerts. And you can see early footage of me training Michael as a singer.
Wow.
Well,
that would be some rare footage, Joe. I don't think anybody has seen that.
I would make all the children from the age of two, as soon as they could walk, they was carrying bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. They make a pile on that side of the yard. Then I tell them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they got to take it all back to the other side of the yard. Otherwise, the grass dies.
Now, Joe, what do you say to the critics who said that that's bordering on child abuse?
Well, I say to them, I raised Michael Jackson. Who you raised, some loser? At least my child been making money while he was alive, and he worked till the very end. Now, that's what I raised, my work.
Yeah, you tell them, Joe.
I'm that... I gotta go. I've got a pain, a stabbing pain in my chest.
Yeah, we understand, Joe.
All right. Very nice to meet you. You send me those pictures of you in the lingerie that you promised me.
Okay, Joe.
I'll share them with my friend Bill Cosby.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, between two of us, we invite you over for drinks if I live through this heart attack.
Bye, Joe. Bye, Joe.
Good Lord.
I don't know why you leave me alone to deal with Joe Jackson when he calls.
You're better at talking to him than I am. Good morning. Hello? Bonnie?
Hello? Yes.
Hey, you the owner of the bedroom, that place that sells all those sex toys?
Yes, I do.
Ooh. Wow. All right, Bonnie, what's the best-selling item at the moment?
At the moment, probably the Wee Vibe.
Mm.
The Wee Vibe and the Kissing Swan, yeah.
All right. Now, would you recommend that every woman has at least one sex toy?
Depends on the lady.
Yeah, but I mean, surely, you know, this is about sexual health. I mean, she's got to know...
It is about sexual health. It is indeed.
She's got to know her own body.
We would suggest women come into the store and have a chat to us, definitely, and take back her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on the woman. It depends on the relationship, absolutely.
Are you often asked a lot of questions about these things? I mean, you probably have to try them yourself so that you know what you're talking about, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so that's why you laugh all the time, because you're having a good time.
Oh, we're very happy in the shop. Yes, definitely. All right.
Bonnie, I wish we had some more time today. If you can, and if you're around, pop in one day. We'd like to talk to you about all of this.
We will. I did hear that you were saying that you're not open in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm, you are?
We have just... we're setting up at the moment. We'll be open mid-June.
Oh, very good. Well, congratulations. Yes. Well, Bonnie, this is a great business that you're in. And you know, that's the kind of business that is almost recession-proof, because people are willing to pay for pleasure. So good for you.
And it never, ever goes out of business.
That's right.
All fashion, I should say.
And Mabali won't say it, but I'll say it for her. She's definitely in the market, and she'd like your recommendations on what she should have.
She should get back to us. Is that Minnie there?
No, Minnie's coming into the studio, and I'll ask her too for you.
Okay, well, tell her it's Auntie Bunny who taught her swimming when she was younger.
Oh, you're kidding. Minnie. Minnie, sit down here quickly. This woman is from the bedroom. Here she is, the great... Just hold on a second for us, Bonnie. Let me welcome this princess the way she deserves to be welcomed, and then you can introduce yourself to her, or reintroduce yourself to her. Here she is, everybody. Minantladla Minnie! She's looking resplendent and beautiful this morning, and I believe this is Bonnie, who owns a place called The Bedroom. They sell sex toys. She also taught you swimming.
Hello, Auntie Bonnie.
Hello, Minnie.
You sell sex toys.
Now she's selling sex toys. She taught you how to swim?
Wow. She did.
Wow. What was Minnie like as a swimmer?
Yeah.
She all right?
She was brilliant. Yeah, she looked after her little brother very well.
Look at that.
That's all really good. I even went into the A squad at school. I was a really good
student. Yeah.
Minnie, did you ever look at Auntie Bonnie and think that that's going to be the woman who supplies sex toys to the women of Johannesburg?
Never. I would have never thought.
Good for you, Bonnie. Now, Auntie Bonnie, I know that's probably inappropriate because you coached her swimming, but what sex toy would you recommend for Minnie?
Please don't answer that, Auntie Bonnie.
I would, I'm quite sure Minnie would never ever use a sex toy. No, I'm joking.
Oh, come on.
I would probably say to Minnie, try lotions and potions first.
Oh, lotions and potions, baby. Ooh, yeah. Yes. She's getting very uncomfortable. I like this. This is good. All right. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Minnie's getting very excited. Problem. Thank you, Bunny. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Minnie, please, calm down. Minnie, for God's sake. All right. Stop now, everybody. Good morning, you gorgeous thing.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, you were sitting out there, and you were on your phone, you were retweeting people, all kinds of things, and I looked at you and I thought, there cannot be a bad day in your life when you wake up looking like you do.
Oh, no, there are.
Oh, nonsense.
Of course there are, but you just don't focus on them, right?
Nonsense. When was the last time you woke up and went, I'm not happy with who I look? I mean, you look beautiful.
Oh, not from a looks department.
Yeah, exactly.
You
You've never felt that.
Feel bad.
Yeah, but you're tired or whatever.
Yeah.
But you look in the mirror. Let me tell you how it works for us ugly people. We wake up in the morning. We go up to the mirror. And the mirror makes us cry.
Yeah, right, Gareth.
And then please, I'm telling you my story.
Have
don't
you
be
seen
insensitive.
Your Instagram?
Don't be insensitive.
I see those blondies you posting all the damn time.
All the selfies. There's so
all
many
the
selfies.
Oh, hang on.
So self-conscious.
And they literally go from, like, degree of hotness.
Oh, you are so full of it.
Oh, my God, Gareth.
You know how many times I have to take a picture before I find one that looks good? With you, I reckon you take one picture and it's just perfect the first time.
Oh, of course. You know, naturally, that's just how it works. You know?
How are you? What's happening in your life?
I'm very good. Things are going great. I'm just really excited to be associated with so many great projects right now.
Mm.
Work's going really well. But most importantly for me, it was really just about empowering women. That's really been my mission lately. Yeah. You know, I've been through so many different things in my life where society has either proved that they'll support me because I am a woman or not because I'm a woman. And, you know, going into sport was one of those things where I really had to prove myself outside of mm-hmm. just being a presenter, even though I'd been doing it for a couple of years. And also when I was trying to get to university, you know, my parents had a choice. Do we send me to university or do we send my younger brother to university? And my parents sent me to university. And if you know anything about, like, traditional, you know, families, you don't send the girl to school, you send the boy to school because, you know, that's right. The person that's going to bring home the bacon. So I've been very blessed and privileged from both ends. And that's why I really wanted to be a part of shaping society and being part of female success.
Do you think in this country we're obviously closer, so that's not even a question. But do you think we're there yet, where it's possible for a woman to earn the same as a man in the same position? Do you think it's possible for a woman to... I mean, because mostly, according to the law, we're the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least according to the law. We've made that progress. Let's pat ourselves on the back for at least coming that far. But there's still a long way to go, right?
Completely. I don't think we're anywhere near where we're supposed to be. And that's one of the reasons why when I started the Mini Dlamini Foundation, my main focus was educating young women who know what they want and who they want to be in society. And everyone's like, oh, well, what about the guys? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not trying to alienate anyone, but
no,
we're just trying
but
to...
that's nonsense. You can't help everybody. So you focus your attention on the people you can help.
Yeah.
And you get them some assistance.
Exactly.
How many of these girls are you looking for in a year? I mean, can you?
In a year, I usually try to get about 19 girls.
Wow.
Yeah, and at the moment, I've got about 12 students that are studying teaching maths and science, which is one of the huge issues in terms of education. If you look at the matriculants, maths and science are the lowest result scores, and that's usually where we get a lot of failures. So I think one of the things to combat that is great teachers in those departments. So I've got some girls who are studying that. But one of the things that I'm really excited about, though, is the Dentine Smile campaign.
Tell me about this.
Basically, all you have to
do... Such a pro. She gets all the plugs in right up front.
Of course we do, and then we get to talk about me.
All right.
But what's really cool about this is that all you have to do is send a picture of your smile, hashtag Dentine Smile, get as many likes as you possibly can, and you could walk away with a personal digital ad campaign that will be paid for by Dentine, and also an opportunity to either kickstart your business, aid your existing business, or land you your dream job and lunch with me.
Oh, you lunch with you now. There's the one that's going to sell the project.
No, man. People what if you end up with dreams.
Okay, what if someone with a really beautiful smile but a hideous countenance, a terrible face, looks like a troll that's been living under a bridge, but the smile's beautiful.
So that's all we're looking
that's
for.
All you're
we're
looking
just
for.
Looking for beautiful smiles
but
and confidence.
But you'll have to sit at lunch with this hideous monster if, you know, someone like that with a nice smile. At least you can focus on their teeth, I suppose.
But they could have a great personality, Gary.
All right, let's start at the beginning with you.
Right.
Because we haven't really spoken about your life. And you were born in KZN, right?
Right.
And then you went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And you said your parents could only put one of you two, you and your brother, through university.
He was a year behind me. Right. So me going meant he matriculated and did a gap year.
Okay. But did he eventually get to go?
Yes.
Okay. So all happens, you know, all's well that ends well. But when you decided to go and study, did you have some guilt over the fact that, did your parents ever say to you, we're going to send you but not your brother?
I actually had no idea. So when I went to UCT, I was like, oh, this is fine. Because I was on part scholarship and I'd worked my matric year. Well, I started working when I was about 16. So I'd saved up a lot of money for university. So I was okay in that
What work
department.
Did you do?
Oh, I used to do promotions. Yeah. I worked on a TV show called Spirit Sunday.
Nice.
I was the roving presenter in my matric year. I was basically a part-time matriculant student. I used to go in and sign the register and leave and go audition with my dad and then come back just before the bell rings for the end of the day.
But this is interesting because a lot of people think, oh, you know, these people who are on TV and they make it and they look at you and they think of you as a role model and a success story, and you are. But they think it's all been easy for you.
No, it really hasn't. I mean, this is something, if I look at my life and I look at all the things that I've been doing, I've been training for this since the age of 12. You know, I started out doing pageants. From pageants, I started MC.
Give me a pageant wave. Let me see how you... Oh, there we go. She's waving her hand like a pageant queen. See?
Like the actual queen as well, the Queen of England.
Yeah. She looks great. Do that again. That's amazing. All right. Let's give you a song for this too, because you need to feel part of the whole thing. There, give me the wave. Ah, oh, she looks magnificent. I can see a tiara on you. You look beautiful. All right. So you started off, you had to do these things, but are there prizes in pageants, or is it really just to get noticed so that you can start getting better jobs?
No. I mean, there were a lot of cash prizes, which is great. So I got a lot of money from those. And then there were also really cool things. Like a lot of prizes were things like scholarships and, you know, short courses that you could do and things like that. So, I mean, they really are lucrative if you enter the right ones.
And you take every opportunity. Like if there's a course on, I don't know, calligraphy, you do it just because you want to improve yourself, right?
To some degree. I mean, my dad was very big on making sure that we didn't have free time. I think that was his... No, I'm serious.
Like Joe Jackson.
Like Joe Jackson. No, but I think more than
anything...
Sorry
about him calling earlier, by the way.
I thought he was fantastic. Sure. Great Joe Jackson.
He calls him all the time.
No, my dad was actually really smart. I think he wanted to keep me away from the boys, so there was literally no time to do anything else. But in that, I got to do so many different things. I mean, if I told you I played chess, I played touch rugby, I ran, played tennis, I was on debate. I mean, I did almost everything you can think of.
Overachiever.
I was one of those kids. I was actually quite annoying. I would have hated me in high school.
Dlamini, are these famous Dlaminis? Are these royal Dlaminis? Are these just good Zulu stock Dlaminis?
All Dlaminis are royal Dlaminis.
Yeah, but now hang on, because there's Swazi Dlamini.
You know that it's actually all the same thing. So
really?
We're all descendants from one, just some moved off to Swaziland because obviously they were royalty and they didn't want to be under the Zulu rule.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved and created their kingdom that side. But we're all descendants from the same people. So it's all the same thing.
To make you proud?
Yeah, it makes me very proud. Yeah. I love where I come from.
It's nice to know where you come from.
Yeah,
man.
I love where I come from. I think it's very cool. Except that we're the Dlaminis that stayed.
you don't have the palaces and all
no,
of that stuff. But,
we stayed, but it's all good. I'm very proud of my heritage.
What kind of people are your parents?
They're really, really cool. My dad is one of those... silent, wise types.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say much, but when he does, he's really funny and always has something very profound to say. And then my mom is just one of those, oh, she's so sweet.
Oh, mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
She's like a real mom.
She's a real mom. Very sweet, very loving, loves everyone. I come from a good family. I come from two people that really, really love each other.
Don't you think that's probably the biggest situation, the biggest struggle that most people find themselves in this country, is that they don't have the family to first of all, give them that sustenance they need when they're little, but also to kind of help them feel like they're part of something.
100%. I feel like it's one of the things that makes me stand apart. And the reason why I am the way that I am is because I come from love. I come from support. And, you know, no matter what happens, you know, not a lot of things get to me because I can always just go home to mom and dad and they'll be there. You know,
and most people in this country don't have that. So we talk about, you know, women you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
And we talk about race and we talk about resources and we talk about education and all of that stuff, but actually the fundamental building block is that you have a mom and dad who care about you.
100%. It's one of the reasons why I will wait before I have kids, and I don't see myself having kids if I don't get married.
Would that be okay?
But I think so. I definitely think so. I want to give my kids a shot at the best. I had it, and if I'm not able to provide that, then there's just no point. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also difficult when you have parents like yours, because then you feel if you don't do as good a job as they did, why even try?
Why try? Right? There's no point.
You know, make a child unhappy.
Yeah, but it's also about we always, you know, thrive to make the next generation better than the previous. Mm. So if I'm not able to do that, like in the simple thing of providing a stable home, then I'd rather not even try.
So besides career success and the fact that you obviously measure yourself quite, You're tough on yourself, right?
Very tough.
Your own biggest critic.
Like definitely.
You expect more and you never rest on your laurels. And like Mabali was saying earlier, you work nonstop.
Yep.
You're doing 100 different projects at once because, first of all, your dad didn't want you meeting boys. He wanted you being busy.
Exactly.
And that's obviously spilled over. But you want this. This is what you're after. You have this burning desire to succeed. So what does success look like?
To be honest with you, success looks like waking up in the morning in a beautiful house on a farm with cows and lots of them.
Uh-huh.
And seeing my family around and just being content with that. You know,
that sounds good.
That's success. I just want to be on a farm with animals and my family and just people running around. That's success.
I would never have said a farm, though.
Yeah.
I thought you were like a city girl.
Oh, no. The further away from the city, the better. I like trees and hills.
So where do you go to get away?
I go to so many different places. I love to travel. I love the Drakensberg. It's one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
For my birthday this year, actually, I'm doing a road trip with my friends. We're doing the garden route. So quite excited about that.
Famous friends?
No, I don't have famous friends.
Don't you?
No.
I don't either.
But there are a lot of famous people who call you their friend. Do they have it wrong?
No, it's not that. It's that, like, my friends are people that I've known for a really long time. Mm. And then I obviously do have industry friends. I do have people that I regard as industry friends. But, you know, they're not the people I'm going to call if I'm like, oh, my heart is broken.
No.
You know, I'm not going to call them for that. So different degrees, I suppose.
All right, let's go back into your career for a second. So you started off, you got that on live on SABC1.
Mm-hmm.
You won the presenter search competition.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Loot Love the other day, Lutando.
Oh, wow, yes.
Who was also on there.
Yeah.
So, and Bonang.
Yes.
Right. So this is where all three of you basically got your kickstart almost in terms of like national television. This is a big deal. Great show. While it was there, it was doing amazing work.
It's still big.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not churning out the people like it used
to. No, it's not the same. Yeah.
So then you went into Generations.
Yep.
As Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long did that last?
That was about 3 months. So it was actually just a cameo role. It was supposed to be about 2 or 3 calls. They liked it. They thought it was cool. So I got a couple of more calls from that.
But more importantly, the audience liked you.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And what I loved about it is that it was an opportunity for people to see that I am actually an actress. And that's what I'm actually trained to do. You know, presenting, to be honest with you, is something that I was naturally good at because I was a natural born speaker.
Yeah.
I did a lot of motivational speaking growing up and Toastmasters and debating. And
but it's also
all of those
it's a confidence thing, right?
I suppose. But also, I guess, I was always able to speak authentically, you know, not really sound too rehearsed and not sound. And people were able to sort of get a sense of sort of who I was. And if you look at presenting now in comparison to the past, that's what people are looking for. People are looking to hear you and hear your personality and not cliffcentral.com.
Yeah,
you know,
that's radio voice, right?
Yeah, but there's TV voice as well. Mm. You know, there's a lot of people that put it on. And
no, top billing. You know, don't talk to me about shows that have TV voice, because we know a lot of people on TV who talk like that.
So it's just weird.
Top billing's like the place for that, right?
Yeah, it is. Because the thing is that it's got such
all
a...
All those presenters could be mass murderers. We'd never know.
We'd never know. Oh. Always perfect. But again, it's one of those things where it's the old style of presenting. Yeah. It's the old school, and it's sort of where it all started and where it came from. So,
all right. So then you go on to Zanzi Insider, and then The Wild. Now I want to talk about The Wild,
yeah,
because even though it's done and dusted and a lot of people forgotten about it, this was a show with some budget.
Yeah,
it was well produced.
100%.
They used beautiful sets. They had great actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. You were among them, and the show could have worked.
Yeah.
It just needed time.
Yep.
People started to watch it. People started to enjoy it. And just then, they kill it.
You know what? There were some unfortunate decisions that were made with regards to where we were shooting.
No, they bought like land and
stuff. Yeah, and then we weren't allowed to shoot on it. So, you know, automatically now the show is now being shot on a deficit. So that's basically what happened. Oof. It was just a bad decision. But
why didn't
I still
just
get
fire
a lot
the
of
person
feedback
who made that deal and not fire the whole show?
But fire that person, we're still in debt. Or yeah, they were still in debt.
Then they should insure against these things or something. This is a major TV channel, not you know, some tiny little internet blog.
Yeah, it was a big blunder. But also, I guess another thing is that it was in place of a show that had done so well on the platform, being Igoli. So I think they also overestimated how well it would do, and the expectations of the growth were a bit too high, and I feel a bit unfair. I think it should have been given at least 5 years before any real assessment on ratings and things like that could have been taken into account.
But you just, you know, when this happens, you have to just move on. You can't get stuck in these things.
Oh,
right?
No, not at all.
Okay, so then Rockville?
Yep, I did Rockville first season.
And Mubs, you know, you go through this list, it just goes on and on and on, all the things that Minnie's done.
Well, the thing that comes to my mind immediately is, so we know that you've been working very hard basically since you were 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we look at your CV, it's impressive. And then you hear people getting upset with you for the fact that you have worked as hard as you have, you know, with that whole open up the industry thing.
Yeah.
What was your take on that?
Sure. It was, I mean, it's rough because you're sitting there and I'm like, you know what, this is my livelihood, this is my job, and under no circumstance will I say or do anything that would, you know, take food away from someone's mouth. So from that perspective, I don't think it's fair. But I do believe that opportunities do need to be created for to grow the industry. I definitely believe that. And the only way that can happen is if more money gets pumped into the industry, for more shows to be produced, for more talent to then be exposed.
Yeah, but
the problem is that
you're being diplomatic now. I mean, Dumi Shamasha was in here the other day and he told us what he thinks about it. His attitude is, F you guys. This is my job. I'm an actor. Just because it's a public job.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that anyone off the street can walk onto this
100%.
This job and do it. You don't have the talent. You don't have the skill. You talk about opening up the industry. All you want is some of the shine. And actually, it's not yours because you don't know how and you don't deserve it.
No, listen.
You do, though.
No, I get exactly what you're saying, and I get where Dumisha's coming from. But also, it's very important. The reason why you see the same faces on television is because the money is tight. And when these productions get given budget, they also get given, well, if you don't reach these targets by this time, your show gets cancelled. So, of course, you're going to go with the resources that are going to give you the opportunity to hit those numbers. So it's a business, and I guess that's what people need to understand, that this is not about making dreams come true, and this is not a fairy tale story. It is a business, and although it looks very glitzy and very glamorous, it's a lot of hard work.
And it's not regular income, because you don't know. You might be booked for a project for 6 months, and the next 6 months there's nothing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll say this straight. I was totally broke for a year, a couple of years ago.
Why is it embarrassing to say you're broke in some places? Like some people are terribly embarrassed about being broke, especially in the entertainment business, especially on social media. Is it because people are mean?
I guess people just expect certain things from celebrities, and people have an idea of what celebrity means and what it comes with, and they don't understand that celebrity in different areas are very, very different. Mm. I mean, I was recently in Nigeria, and their entertainment industry is on a completely different level to ours. I mean, we sit here thinking we're the bee's knees and we're the America of Africa. Honey, I want to go work in Nigeria. They're paying you in dollars. I mean, they have a huge celebrity culture. Those people are paid. I mean, you walk down the streets, they're on billboards, they're on magazines, and it's their own people. We don't want to support our own.
I mean, Nollywood is right up there with Bollywood and Hollywood in terms of the kind of money that that industry makes for Nigeria.
100%.
Right. Plus, you wouldn't really even have to act, because if I watch Africa Magic, it's bullshit. Anyone could do that stuff.
Oh, but where have you been with my wife? I'm going to kill you. What are you saying to me behind my back?
But you know what the beautiful thing is, Gareth, is the fact that they buy into their own product.
Yeah,
you know, we're looking at all of the stuff right now where it's 100% local this and local that. And that's where we need to get to as a people, is that we need to start supporting our own. We need to start buying our own product.
Yeah, but then Boiti buys a house and they tear her down because she, you know. I mean, come on. That's just mean. It's unbelievable.
That was so mean.
You must get exhausted of social media, though. I mean, these people who think that it's well within their rights to say whatever they want about you, and they don't even know you.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Is I just feel like people just expose how stupid they are. I'm like, why would you expose how dumb and ignorant you are on my page? Block. That's the first thing. The second thing is I really just enjoy it for the fact that it gives me an opportunity to show sides of me that people don't really get to see. You know, I'm a complete idiot, a goofball. I really like to have fun, and I just feel like based on the things that I do, I'm always so serious and so prim and proper.
No, I think we get the idea that you've got a lot of energy, which is probably one of the reasons that you work on TV so well, because it's natural for you. The social media thing, just to go back to that for a second, does it help if you're being cast in a TV show and you have hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter or Instagram? Does that help you?
Yeah, I think it does.
It does, right?
I mean, not even just on TV shows, and so many different things. I mean, there'll be campaigns that I'll get purely based on the fact that I've got a high following. So if they want to drive a social media, you know, campaign, for example, based on my numbers, they were like, well, we can reach more people with this person. What social media has done, Gareth, is that it's allowed us to become broadcasters in our own right. You know, so we can create our own content. We can make money off our platforms, and it's almost creating a different industry. And I feel like that's where the world is going. You know, television is going to be quite redundant in a couple of years.
Who needs Nollywood when you can connect with your you know, the person that you're interested in directly?
100%.
So, who are the who's the competition for you right now? I mean, if people are looking to get a campaign going, who are they putting on the, because you're on the top 5 list, top 3 list even every time, right?
Most likely.
Yeah, good. And I'm glad you say, because that's true.
Yeah, it is true.
And you've worked hard to get here.
Definitely.
Okay, so it's probably you. Probably Bonang's still there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's up there.
Yeah.
Unstable as Euphonic said to me the other day, she is. And
Nina Nonke. Nonke.
Who else have we got?
To be honest with you, those
Pearl?
The top two that you just mentioned, our numbers are really, really high. And then the next people are like less than half.
All right. So what is your following on Instagram, for example?
On Instagram, I'm about 960 something. So I'm the most followed on Instagram in South Africa.
If you tweeted a slightly sensational photograph.
Okay.
Or you put it on Instagram.
Sensational in what sense?
Like maybe, you know, a swimming sort of bikini outfit.
Okay, which I do quite often.
Right. Mm-hmm. That always gets like thousands of likes.
Yeah, that gets a lot of likes. But funny enough, pictures for me that get a lot of likes are my makeup. Less selfies.
In other words, were you just yourself?
Yeah. People really, really like those. And my videos get a lot of likes.
And Snapchat, how's that going? Are you on there as well?
Snapchat is very slow, Gareth. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say in a very embarrassing tone. I'm just not understanding the concept.
You can't do it all. It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. And like, I see my friends and they've got it down to a T. Like, it looks really cool. I'm just like, can I hire someone to like do this for me.
Well,
I'm still trying.
Someezy takes pictures. He sets his phone up. Listen to this.
Right.
Sets his phone up on a table at his pool. But it's on a towel so it doesn't bounce around. And he's got the right angle and everything. Then he presses that timer.
Right.
And he runs to the side of the pool and he dives into the pool. And then it's not a perfect picture. Then he has to do it again.
Right.
He does like 20 pictures, chooses the one and puts it on Instagram. And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But do you go to that much trouble?
I mean, I'll take, I took a couple, and then I couldn't choose which one I liked the most, so I posted four. But, yeah, you go through quite a few. Like, someone was like, oh, I'm sure you just take one, and that's the one. You just did
I
that
said
as well.
No,
we take a couple. Have you seen that meme, though?
Which one?
The pictures before the one that actually gets posted. Yeah. I was like, I know exactly what you said.
Have you ever posted anything and immediately regretted it?
Yeah. So, thank goodness there's a delete button.
Yeah.
So, we just take it off.
But sometimes you're not fast enough. When you've got 200,000 followers.
Somebody takes a screenshot.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've never had anything that I badly regret. It's just a picture that, like, sometimes, like, if I see that the comments are just really, really annoying and it's just, I'll just take it down.
And you block people. And if people upset you, you just get rid of them.
Yeah, I just block them.
You don't have to care.
I don't.
No.
I don't. I really, really don't. But also at the end of the day, the reason why I block them is because I just, sometimes they start fighting on my page. And, you know, sometimes I want to respond and I want to, you know, speak about other things and I want to see what people are saying. But no, man, I can't deal with stupid people. I really can't.
Have you ever met a troll in real life?
I think I have. You know who I met? Remember that whole like open letter saga?
Which one specifically?
There was an open letter that was sent out about me. And
what did it say?
A lot of very horrible things. And
like what?
Things like I'm going to get AIDS and like I'm horrible. And just like it was just really horrible. And I actually had met that person at – that person was an intern or whatever at this production company. And
So they knew you?
Yeah, I just had no idea who they were because obviously, why do you need to know who a troll is?
Sure.
I just got told that, oh, that's the person that wrote the open letter. And I was like, oh, kudos to him.
Ever met a troll, Mubs? I mean,
it's just imagine.
It's 2016. This is what you have to deal with is meeting trolls.
Meeting a troll. Okay. There must be some things you've read about yourself that are just not true that drove you crazy, though.
Oh, so many things. The marriage thing.
Around that time that you were with Itumelengkune, there was a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that was written.
Because, again, that's where people's sexism comes out.
Right.
The guy, in every situation, can get away with anything he wants.
Right.
The woman is always a slut or a whore or there's this or there's
that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't deal with that, which was at least, you know, really good. I didn't deal with if anyone calling me names. And I just think it was purely based on the fact that, you know, it was all just pretty out there.
Two famous people and it looked like a perfect picture.
Yeah, so I don't think I got a lot of backlash from that perspective. What was horrible to deal with was my personal life just being splashed everywhere.
Mm.
That was not cool. And, you know, I signed up for it, but my family didn't. And I thought that was really, really not cool. But other than that, though, there's a lot of, like, silly things that get said. Oh, the one thing that upset me was the diva thing. That made me sad. When people said I was a diva, I was like, I'm not a diva.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Have you ever been difficult, though?
I mean, look, I'm not...
Photo shoots, do you ask for a specific song and you ask for a wind machine and
I'm very easy to work with.
Water at 22 degrees?
Or? I'm very easy to work with. My thing is that I just want to get in and get out as quickly as possible. So
I worked with you at an event. That's how you seem to me.
Yeah, we just want to get as much done as possible so that I can have as much downtime as possible. You know, that's basically how I work. So, you know, when you start sitting there saying you want wind machines and rose petals and all of these crazy things, what happens is that you're just staying there longer.
Yeah.
You know, you're wasting so much time. So, you know, you just want to be in and out and do what you have to do. So that hurt me because, you know, I always try and make sure that my working environment is always very calm and drama-free.
Right.
You know, because when people are happy, people are very happy to do things and get things done. You know, when people are upset, then they're faffing and then, oh, no.
And they're stressing and they're nervous around you.
I would imagine it probably also has a little bit to do with the fact that you are a confident person and you're very, you know, you're self-assured. I mean, when Gareth asked you, are you in the top three of the go-to people when somebody wants to do a campaign? And you said, yeah, likely. Now, some people would be like, oh, she's so full of herself, shame. But no, you're not. You are confident, and maybe some people read that the wrong way and they think she's full of herself, yeah. She's a diva, but actually you're just confident in who you are.
Do you know what another thing is about the industry, which I find very sad, is that not enough people approach it as a business. So not enough people will actually state exactly what it is that they require, when they require it, and how. And if an email has been sent and those things are not done, That is a problem. That is a professional problem. I cannot be labeled a diva for something that you did not do that you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Do you get what
that
I'm saying?
That you already agreed to.
That you already agreed to. Yeah. And I guess that's just what it is that you really want to, you want to get to a point where we're setting the industry standards at a certain point. And, you know, you've got too many people that are walking around and acting like this is a joke and acting like it is a big fat party. And it's not. You know, this is our livelihood.
All right. Here are a couple of rumors I've heard. Number one, that you attend Pastor Mboro's church. Is that true?
No. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
That you actually don't care about soccer at all. Even though you're on, you know, Soccer Zone with Thomas Mlambo.
Oh, that's sad. That's not cool.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
You do care about it. Who do you support?
Ooh, I nearly said it. Ooh, I'm not allowed to say, actually. No,
Come on.
No, Gareth, I'm like seriously not allowed to say.
What, like in your contract, you're not allowed to say?
We're supposed, because obviously we deliver reviews and whatever. So
Ben, who do you think she supports? Come on.
I think she supports Chiefs. Morocco Swallows, and she's having a tough time of it right now.
You know what I mean?
All right. By the way, do you and Itumeleng still talk or?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
Did it just go horribly wrong?
Yeah.
You just were happy to be away from each other.
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just curious because a lot of people want to know how that ended.
No, it didn't end great.
I imagine it's difficult to date when you're you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what the other person's motive is.
Yeah.
And even if they're really nice people, even if they're in love with you, to put up with your lifestyle and you work so hard and you're always busy.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Means that they don't really get to see you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're going to feel like you've put them on the back burner or they're number 7 on your list of priorities.
Yeah. And you know what? I've made the conscious decision of putting my career first. That is my first love. That is my main priority and my main focus. And everything and anything else comes second.
But you're not closing the door.
Yeah. Definitely not. It's not about closing the door. It's basically about I really want to retire soon, Gareth.
Soon? How old are you now?
I'm 25.
How old are you? Oh, piss off with your retirement.
No, I'm so serious. Come by on. 30, I'm done.
What are you going to do then? Going to live on that farm?
I'm going to live on my farm and have babies.
Okay. I'm going to find you. In the meantime, before you haven't got a man yet. There might be someone.
There might be someone.
Oh, okay. I was going to get Aunt Bonnie on the phone again and give you some more of those sex toys.
No, I'm good. I'm pretty good in that department.
Sure? When she taught you how to swim, she could teach you a whole lot more.
Right?
Would that be awkward?
So awkward.
So if you walked into Aunt Bonnie's shop right now and she's pulling out like 12-inch black rubber cocks, are you going to be like, oh my God, Aunt Bonnie, I can't?
It's just weird. I mean, she knew me when I was like 3.
All right, tell me about this guy. Come on.
No, Gareth. You know what? I did this already.
You don't have to say names, and I'm not going to get you into trouble, and this is not to cause sensation.
Cool.
I'm curious about what kind of a guy you're interested in at the moment. Just tell me what sort of a human being he is. Is he a successful guy? Is he someone who is extremely good looking?
Well, always good looking because, mm-hmm. you know, we want to have cute babies. Mm-hmm. But
you're already thinking about babies with him. That's a big thing.
You always think about babies with the person you're with. That's like the first thing you look at.
No,
like,
it isn't.
Will you give me cute babies? Otherwise, I'm not wasting my time. You know what I mean?
I start thinking I really hope she or I are infertile.
Okay. No, man. For me, it was just really about being able to escape. And go home and just not be mini la mini that everyone expects me to be.
So this is the kind of guy who would just treat you like a normal person.
No, you still got to treat me like a queen. Don't get it twisted.
Mm.
But knows me and loves me, not what I do.
Is it someone you've known for a long time?
Someone I've known for a very long time. Someone who's actually been one of my best friends, and we decided to move from being friends to being lovers. Levels.
Reunited and And it feels so good.
So I'm imagining that this is actually the perfect recipe, because if this is someone you've known a long time, they've seen you through ups and downs, yeah. They've been around you a long time, they know your family.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine your dad.
But not know my family like that, like never been formally introduced. We don't do those things.
Ooh.
No. Don't do those things.
Are you nervous about when he meets dad?
100%. If my dad doesn't like him, that's going to be a big deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Because your mom will love him.
My mom loves everyone, so that doesn't count. But you know, my dad's opinion really, really counts. I was even having a chat with him, and I was like, you do know that you're allowed to tell me if you don't like someone, you know, that's okay. And he's like, no, because I can't bear to watch you not listen to me. So ooh. I'd rather keep quiet.
Sure.
And I was like, wow.
This guy is some guy, this dad of yours.
Oh, no, my dad's incredible. He's literally the reason why I'm the person I am. Hmm.
Strong, very, powerful, very influential
strong
man.
Zulu man.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but that's that sounds to me like the kind of role model everybody needs.
Definitely. But everyone just needs a really great father figure. That's honestly what it is.
Yeah. Mm. Because you feel secure, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're with him, you don't worry about anything, even though you're not 25, 26 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly.
You, when you're around your dad, you're safe.
Yeah, but also for me, it allows me to maintain my standards in terms of the guy I want to be with. You know, I'm not desperate to be with anyone. I don't have to be.
So this guy, does he also make you feel safe?
Yep.
Is he in extremely good shape? Six-pack stuff?
He looks great.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And did you two live together?
No.
Oh. How many nights a week do you spend?
I'm Zulu. I'm not allowed to live with anyone until marriage.
I understand. You're very traditional.
Yeah.
I respect that. But do you get together in the week? Like what, once, twice, three times a week?
Yeah. Oh, if I'm in Joburg, I'll definitely see him.
But you're mostly in Joburg, right?
Yeah. This is my base. So.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So how far away from him do you live?
A few minutes.
If you need him, you can get in the car and you can be there in a few minutes.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Awesome.
Well, but it's cool that you also live separately, because until you're ready to move in, a lot of people make that mistake. They push everything together,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't work out, and then they have to separate it all out again. And
yeah.
Suddenly you're living in one place.
Yeah. A lot of people say the moving in thing is actually quite healthy, especially if you're looking at, you know, marriage and things like that, because they say that, well, that's the only way you'll know, you know, how to live with someone.
There are a lot of telltale signs coming out of you that this is the guy.
But I don't know. I think so.
I'm happy for you.
I think so. Thank you.
I'm really happy for you. That's very good news.
I'm in a very happy space. I'm in a very calm space. Things for me are just exactly where I want them to be.
What kind of a house do you have? I mean, I imagine this is like those houses you see on Top Billing.
No.
Do you live comfortably?
I do live comfortably. I live in a house.
Okay, that's very nice. How many bedrooms?
Three bedrooms.
Three bedrooms, okay. Are we driving three or four cars?
Now I'm driving one car.
One car, that's very sensible. You don't waste money.
Exactly, cars depreciate.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other business interests that are outside of the entertainment industry?
Yep, I do. I work on a few other things.
She's smart, this Minantle Dlamini.
You've got to have passive income. Again, you were mentioning just now, we don't have, you know, stable incomes.
Yeah.
1 month you're getting paid, 1 month you're not. You know, you might have 5 gigs in a month. You might have
I saw you were in New York last week or something.
Yeah,
right?
I was in New York and LA.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Traveling the world. Yeah.
It was good fun. I really wanted to... My best friend graduated. She got her honors. And I was like, well, I've got 2 weeks free. Let's just go live our best life. So we did. And we just had a bestie vacation.
Anything exciting happen on this trip? You meet anyone exciting?
Yeah, I did. I had dinner at this restaurant called...
This is going to be a story.
No.
Here's the headline. Go.
It's not really that great. But I had dinner at a restaurant called Cut. It's world-renowned chef Wolfgang Pack or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's like big with the celebs.
Exactly. Right. Great steak. And, yeah, I love my meat.
I'm so pleased you eat steak.
Of course I eat
steak.
Ben
here is a vegetarian.
Oh, shame. That's so sad.
When God have I ever said I'm a vegetarian? I just don't eat meat, that's all.
Oh, why?
I just don't eat red meat.
Are you okay?
Yeah, but like I feel better as a result.
Are you okay?
That's good.
If you push him over, he falls now. He has to be strong.
And at dinner, I'm literally sitting at the restaurant, like a meter and a half away. Mariah Carey's having dinner.
Oh,
with
my
friend.
Goodness.
Also having steak.
Yeah. I didn't see what she was eating. I didn't want to stare too much. But what was so funny is that she was in full view. You know, usually like you want to sit like in a corner or whatever. Yeah. Oh, no, no. She was on a platform.
No, but she's...
like, and everyone must Mimi. See. And it was beautiful. I was like, she's everything.
But did you get to see her when she was in concert?
I didn't. Oh. I got sad because I just felt like she doesn't sing the same anymore. So yeah. I just didn't want to be disappointed. I'm the original Mariah Carey fan. She's my original Beyonce.
Like Dream Lover, Fantasy.
Yeah, Hero.
Always Be My Baby.
Yes.
Oh, I love that
Music
song.
Box, yeah. Not Hero. Music Box, one of my favorite albums.
Yes.
Literally cover to cover. And so, yeah, got to see Beyonce live in concert.
That's nice.
Was insane. Like, I literally, there was a point where I sat down and I went... We ain't doing shit back home. No, it really, really was one of those things. I was like, honey, if you think you're famous, you've got to reevaluate your life.
That's famous.
You know, that's famous. And not even that, but that's work ethic. Mm. That's
sure,
professional. And I looked at it and I was like, you know what? I want to be able to put that much effort into what I do.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think you do, actually. I think that out of a lot of the people who I've met in the entertainment business, you are one of the most polished professional people. You know exactly what you've got to do and you do it. You deliver.
Thank you.
People like working with you. I've never heard anyone say, oh, don't work with that woman.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you have every single success that you've achieved, you deserve.
Thank
I don't
you
think
so
that
much.
Anyone could take any of that away from you.
Thank you.
I love you.
We work hard.
You
I
are
love
fantastic.
You too. I remember watching you, as a kid, I was like, I want to be like you.
Thanks. Now you make me feel old. That's nice. Things were going so well.
But you must know, though, age is a number.
All right. Listen, you gorgeous thing.
Yeah.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
Continue to rise to the heights of Beyonce.
Yes.
And who knows, even beyond. I think that this is the beginning of you may think that you're already kind of there, but I think there's so much more in store for you.
No, I haven't even started, Gareth.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. 100%. Mini Tlamini, have an excellent day. Thank you for popping in to visit us and keep us informed.
Thank you, President of Cliff Central.
Yeah, bring that man of yours around here so we can evaluate him, see if he's worth you.
Yeah, around here, definitely.
Yeah,
that's
bring him
so
here.
Happening.
Mabale and I will do a thorough examination of his mental, physical, business, and appearance potentials. And if he does not meet the standards for someone like you, we will kick him to the curb.
So you basically want to step into her father's shoes and do her father's role.
Dad is in KZN.
Which is evaluating this guy.
She can't expect him to travel up here just to meet this asshole. So I'm going to meet him instead. I'll be the first round.
I like
round,
that. I'll
right?
tell Mr. Dlamini.
All right, please. Give Mr. and Mrs. Dlamini my love.
I will. Thank you so much
for having me. Minen. All right, here's what you need to know. In the wake of the latest Bill Cosby sex allegations, Hugh Hefner said he would never tolerate such behavior on his property, no matter what or who was involved. Privately, Hefner's quite pissed off with Cosby because now everyone thinks he's also rapey and an old creep, and is fearing similar allegations coming forward against him in the next few months. In other news, David Des Van Rooyen is still reeling from the weekend special comments aimed at him in Parliament by Mbuyiseni Ndlozi. He didn't get the joke at the time, and even after hours of Googling, he still doesn't understand what Mbuyiseni meant. He has, though, just discovered the music of Brenda Fassie and is loving it. And finally, more tears for Liverpool fans as they suffered a second-half drilling by Spanish club Sevilla in the Europa World Cup. When asked how they felt about the loss, Jurgen Klopp said he's excited about walking alone for the summer as his team have done nothing but disappoint him all season. And that is it from us this morning. There's lots more to come. It is Thursday, so we've got Somizi, we've got Luis Obala, we've got Flubimboya, we've got Unplugged and In Charge with Simpiwe and Weza and Vaughn and Lisejo. It's going to be a hell of a busy day. Make sure that you don't miss a thing on cliffcentral.com today, and we will see you tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.